In the port of Amsterdam, there's a sailor who sings of the dreams that he brings from the wide open sea. In the port of Amsterdam, there's a sailor who sleeps.
Welcome back to the Roundtable. From the author of the acclaimed Island at the Center of the Earth comes Amsterdam, a history of the world's most liberal city, an entertaining portrait of the city of Amsterdam and the ideas that make it unique. Weaving in his own experiences in his adopted home, Russell Shorto provides a really surprising, intellectually engaging story of Amsterdam, from the building of its first canals in the 1300s through its brutal struggle for independence, its golden age as a vast empire, to its complex present in which its cherished ideals of liberalism are under siege. Russell Shorto is the best-selling author of The Island at the Center of the World and many other bestsellers. He'll be at the Northshire Bookstore in Saratoga on Saturday at 7 o'clock, and it's a great pleasure to welcome him to the Roundtable this morning. Good morning, Russell. Thanks. Always good to talk to you. The book Amsterdam, A History of the World's Most Liberal City, did you always know that you were going to write about this place that you now live in?
No. I wrote, as you said, I wrote a book called The Island at the Center of the World about the Dutch founding of New York. And that then, you know, what I argued in that book is essentially that it was the Dutch having planted in New York their kind of tolerance, their multi-ethnic sensibility, and their free trading sensibility. Those things are what made New York different, say, from Boston. And then when I moved to Amsterdam, it just kind of seemed natural to follow that flow and to say, okay, well, what was it about this place that engendered those things there? So then, I also like the idea of writing something about Amsterdam. Everybody associates Amsterdam with liberal in the sense of sex and drugs and all that. And in fact, there's a connection between that broader liberal, meaning sort of philosophy of individual freedom, and this kind of narrower, permissive sense.
You write about this, and it's fascinating of how that history came about. But it was somewhat liberal from its very beginning, but then obviously it was a progression.
What I find interesting is that it's a place where the culture was formed by geography, because in the Middle Ages in Europe you had the feudal system where you had the nobleman and his serfs who worked the fields and all that, and it was a fixed system, it never changed. But in this place, because it's basically a big river delta, it worked differently. There, people had to band together in groups to create dams and dikes to reclaim the land. And when they did that, it wasn't owned by a church, it wasn't owned by a king, they became the owners of it. So they started buying and selling of it. And this then gave them this feeling of empowerment. And that led them to innovate, to the idea that you can get rich and your children will have a better life. And from that comes this idea of, quote, liberal, this meaning individual freedom and interest in promoting individual ideas and values.
And as I mentioned in the introduction, that many of these ideals that are cherished and so associated with the place are under siege, and that's nothing new, is it?
No, it's not. It happens repeatedly that what we cherish most, that these values of individual freedom and civil rights and civil liberties are threatened. And one of the things I tried to do in the book is show that, you know, we tend to think of these things as kind of eternal, and maybe they are in some sense in our mind, they should be, but in fact, they came into being in a particular place, and they spread, this idea spread, and we value it, and it can be snuffed out, and it has been in different places at different times.
So what is it about Amsterdam that allows it to be somewhat resilient to that, and how long can they keep that up?
That's the question. I think that it's a place, as I say, because of its geography, where a lot of these things came into being, and they rose on that. The Golden Age came about because of that, so it became, for a short while, the most powerful city in the world, as strange as that seems, on the strength of this idea. But World War II saw it almost be crushed there. And the Dutch nowadays, the city of Amsterdam in particular, looks to its past and tries to use that in branding itself. You know, it's saying, you know, new high-tech startup companies come here. We've always had this tradition of innovation and liberalism. So they're trying to, you know, spin it in a positive way.
When you think of how it resembles other cities, other European cities, what is it? I mean, obviously, geography is a large part of this, but tourism is a large part of this too, right? I mean, it's people coming to sort of share in the glory of that liberalism.
Yeah, I mean, I think that then, if jumping into the, you know, our era, the modern day, it had this tradition, and that in the 1960s, it became this place where it really flourished as a counterculture center. And then what I think happened in terms of Amsterdam's image and tourism and all that is John Lennon and Yoko Ono decided to have their bed in for peace. You know, this is right when he was breaking out, leaving the Beatles, at the Amsterdam Hilton. And they invited the whole world's press there. And so all this media from all over the world gets an experience of this city while, you know, standing in line to interview them. And, you know, that kind of cements this other image of Amsterdam as this kind of free love, sex and drugs and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And it's sort of, and now the city, you know, it would like to kind of shake that a bit because they, you know, it brings in a lot of sort of unwanted things, but that now is simply part of the image.
But one of those things, of course, is money, right? I mean, it is also a big part of what is the city's image.
Sure. Oh yeah, it is, and I think that, you know, they want to. I think, you know, just in terms of their strategy, they want to foster that. They want to say, yeah, we're the liberal center, but they want to keep it clean too. So now what they're trying to do is keep their red light districts and still allow marijuana in their cups and all that, but they want to kind of limit it and Disneyfy it a bit.
Well, the name of the book is Amsterdam, A History of the World's Most Liberal City. Russell Shorto will be in our region on Saturday at Northshire Bookstore in Saratoga Springs. It's at 7 o'clock. You can find out more information about that event by going to northshire.com. Northshire.com. And again, the name of the book is Amsterdam, A History of the World's Most Liberal City. It's published by Doubleday. Russell Shorto, always a pleasure. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks so much, Joe.
Great pleasure. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.